This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for Business is powered by BossBolay.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
This is Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong. How much do we think about our impact on sustainability and the environment? Maybe we try to recycle Tupperware, maybe we try composting, maybe sometimes we even participate in Meatless Mondays. But what about the very clothes on our backs? I have Arif Faisal, founder and CEO of Coalesa, a direct-to-consumer online brand selling apparel made from bamboo textiles, to discuss that and more.
Sure. Hi, Christine. Thanks so much for having me. Honestly, a big pleasure to be on here. Just maybe a little bit about me. I'm born and bred in Malaysia. Actually started engineering in the UK. And after that, I actually jumped into the world of management consulting. So I had, quite a corporate background in terms of the past, I guess, four to five years of my life. And I did that with Bain & Company. And I left Bain end of last year to essentially try to start something of my own. And that essentially is Coalesa. And Coalesa, in a nutshell, as you mentioned, is a direct-to-consumer online brand. We sell eco-conscious apparel. We're starting off with bamboo fabric as our first sustainability conscious textile. And effectively what we believe is there doesn't have to be a trade-off with comfort or design when purchasing sustainable products. And we have three main pillars for our business that we offer to our customers: apparel that's super comfortable, great looking, and eco-conscious. So that's a bit about me and Coalesa.
Fantastic. Now, how did you even discover that bamboo could be utilized in this way?
I kind of ventured into the whole world of sustainability or being eco-conscious after actually snorkeling one day in Indonesia and realized that the entire reef was dead, and that really struck me. And I guess from that, my curiosity in terms of just general eco-consciousness was awoken. Stumbled across a few brands actually from the West that do it quite well, and across a few different types of textiles. And bamboo came up in actually some shoes that I purchased one day, and I thought that was, you know, super comfortable. I questioned why not textiles, why not tops, why not t-shirts or polos, but actually that there are brands out there or people using this type of textile today. Mm-hmm. You know, after discovering, you know, what's so great about bamboo, it really made me open my eyes in terms of what can be done and what could be achievable with a product like this, mm-hmm. a scaling product like this, yeah.
Right. And how exactly does it work? How does bamboo get processed in such a way that it could become a t-shirt?
So the manufacturing process, it's actually pulverized the bamboo itself. And bamboo is actually a grass, which in itself regenerates super fast. It can grow up to 20 cm each day. You know, it also sequesters 5 times more carbon dioxide and produces 35% more oxygen. But I guess to your question, in terms of the process that gets pulverized and it gets kind of strung out to, almost into like a cellulose into a fiber effectively, which is similar to, if you think about, strands of cotton. And that gets spun into a textile in itself. So once you pulverize that cellulose, you can kind of make a fabric out of it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And so you mentioned that you had the background in management and consulting. So before this, you hadn't really experienced entrepreneurship or even dabbled within the textile or retail industries before, right? So what was it like, you know, starting something that was so unfamiliar to you?
Definitely a big learning experience. I think the skill sets, the skill sets in management consulting, I think are, you get a great skill set and a foundation to do a lot of different things, and especially kind of more on the business side, on running a business, it definitely helped. You're right that, you know, for me, I don't have a textile background, or even a design background. And that's where we rely on our head of production and design, Nikki. So she actually, she studied in London College of Fashion, and she did a degree actually in textile fashion, and specifically studied prints. So that's kind of, you know, we really leverage on her experience there. And but yeah, I mean, like I said earlier, super new in terms of one being a founder and starting a business. But then, you know, I like all startups have to kind of scramble, bootstrap, and try to figure it out.
So, okay, speaking of which, what was the initial funding like for the company?
So we actually went through angel investors. With that, we've been able to kind of bootstrap from there. So, yeah, not as, I guess, complex as a funding round with a venture capitalist, but definitely something that does really, really good things.
Mm. Yeah. And what made you want to venture into entrepreneurship in the first place, apart from just the that experience with the coral reefs?
So I think what I had found was my learning not necessarily plateaued, but what I found that gave me energy in my previous job, I started to see that was depleting kind of on a day by day, so incrementally. So once I knew that, and I think a lot of it was to do with the learning and doing something that I was very, very passionate about. I was very passionate about, you know, the work that I did before, and I was very interested in it. It didn't really give me a sense of kind of purpose and like what do I want to build in life, and yeah, I guess I did a bit of soul searching before figuring out what I exactly wanted to start.
Mm-hmm.
But that, as well as, you know, being able to build a team from scratch, I thought that was always something that I really wanted to do. Build a team, but also build a brand and a name from scratch. I thought that's a very cool concept and a big challenge, and yeah, something that's super exciting.
Mm-hmm. Now let's talk a little bit about Coalesa itself. Now, I love the name, and according, I believe, to your website, Coalesa is a blend of two Malay/Indonesian words, kuat and selesa, so strong and comfort, right? So how did you guys come up with that?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. It was, I think, something I gave about 3 weeks to Time Box, like, what's going to be the name? And I think I figured it out on the first day. Strength and comfort were two attributes that came really from the bamboo itself, and that was the inspiration behind those two words. But yeah, it kind of made sense, sounded cool, but nothing too much more to report apart from that we couldn't trump it after 3 weeks. But yeah, thought it sounded quite nice as well.
Just seemed like the perfect combination of words to really describe what you were going for, I guess.
That's right, yeah. I think a lot of people think we got the inspiration from like Kuala or like Kuala Lumpur.
Mm-hmm.
And also sometimes we get like quality, no, it was really just Kuat and Selesa.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And of course, this brand is very rooted in celebrating the Southeast Asian influence, because your products, which also, let's clarify, your products are basically t-shirts and polo shirts that are at the moment only for men, but you are planning to expand into women's fashion as well, as far as I can tell. But specifically, the design of it is also batik, right? So tell me a little bit about that decision.
That's right, yeah. So for us, we've always been inspired, and when I say us, it's me and my co-founder Harris. We've always been inspired by batik artisanship in the region. You know, Malaysia and Indonesia both have heritage in it. It's, I think, something that's super underrated that people do kind of wear regularly, but it hasn't really been done in a way that we've done it. So for it was almost a bit of a curious thing that, you know, why hasn't it really translated in a big way into polos or something a little bit more on the casual side of things?
Mm-hmm.
So you know, your batik shirts are typically a little bit more formal, a little bit, you know, stuffier. The fabric isn't as breathable. And the designs themselves are also quite loud and typically use multiple colors, and it's closer to, something that you would wear to a wedding or something like that. But there hasn't really been a take, not that we found at the time anyway, a more subtle, you know, just maybe two or three colors, which is, I guess, a gap that we saw and thought that would be very cool to explore, and mm-hmm. something that definitely, like, all of our friends, when we tested the idea, said would be something they would want to wear. So yeah, that was the genesis, I guess.
So essentially, you're taking a traditional design that's usually reserved for more formal occasions, and you're trying to convert it to something a little bit more modern and casual.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we definitely, it's more of a paying homage or tribute. You know, we actually, our collection is called a Batik tribute polo. Mm. We're not kind of saying it is Batik or, you know, we don't want to replace the Batik shirt.
Right.
Definitely not. But we do, we are inspired by the Batik motifs themselves. So right. We have, in the collection, three traditional, motifs. So, Parang, Kawong, and Druntum. And we've just kind of explored more geometric designs and smaller, I guess, in terms of scale on the tops as well.
Right. So you're not appropriating the designs. You're sort of just paying a homage to that sort of idea and that culture.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Excellent. Well, it's time for a short break. But after that, I will continue speaking to Arif all about Kualesa. So do stay tuned to Open for Business here on BFM 89.9.
Open for Business will reopen in a few moments. Powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Bold, fearless Malaysia. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Open for Business is powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Listening to Open for Business, I'm Christine Wong, and on the line with me today is Arif Faizal, founder and CEO of Kualesa, which is a direct-to-consumer online brand selling apparel made from bamboo textiles. And before the break, we talked a bit about why bamboo, why textiles, and also a little bit about the designs and the homage to Batik that they are going for with their product line. Now, I do have something to bring up here, which is that looking at the price range of the products on the website, and comparing it to an average t-shirt or polo shirt, there is quite a jump, it must be said. So let's say an average fast fashion t-shirt that you could find, maybe it's about, I don't know, 30 to 50 ringgit. Whereas on your website, your products are priced anywhere from 164 ringgit to 232 ringgit for one shirt. Tell me a little bit about that. What's the justification of that pricing?
Sure. I think first and foremost, in terms of fast fashion, we do see ourselves as you know, not a huge support for fast fashion, and more on the fact that it promotes a lot of usage in terms of quantity, but doesn't necessarily promote quality and long lasting garments. Mm-hmm. So we're taking the latter kind of notion from that. So we believe that, you know, for fast fashion, first of all, they're using a lot of, the industry itself uses a lot of synthetic textiles. So that would be your polyesters, for example. And actually 60% of all textile, you know, mass in the world is from polyester. And that takes 200 years to decompose. And what it means is in a fast fashion cycle where you maybe purchase a product, which could be say 30 ringgit, and it's made of polyester, and you potentially might even only wear it and it's not the right size and it's not the right quality for you, and you might wear it three times. And then you would throw it away and it would end up in a landfill and take 200 years to decompose. We promote, you know, purchasing quality garments that you really want to wear all the time. You feel very comfortable in them and can last you for a long time in terms of quality. So you maybe might wear it, you know, 30, 50, 100 times before you get rid of it. So in terms of like your own usage, for you to buy quality, and you know, we believe our products are of better quality than some fashion, fast fashion brands out there, it does justify it to some extent. Mm. But it's also, you know, justifiable in the reality of the industry in terms of sustainable textiles or more sustainable textiles, should I say, they're less abundant, and what that means is, you know, brands use less of it, and it becomes higher, you know, per square meter of textile. So for us to be more conscious, it does, you know, you do incur a cost. And that cost, we can't necessarily just then charge cheap and be a loss-making business. We do have to be a sustainable business, you know, from a longevity standpoint first, for us to make a big impact in the world. Mm. So that's how we kind of justify it in terms of quality and usage. But then also, you know, we do, it is a struggle for you to sell at cheaper prices if you're using these types of textiles. Right. But hopefully, I mean, my hope for the world is that it would be so abundant and the cost would go down, and we definitely, you know, pass that on to the consumer. So that's kind of where we stand on it.
Right. So essentially, from the consumer perspective, it's supposed to be more of an investment, I guess. And then from your perspective as a business, it's sort of an issue of the cost of production has to be balanced out somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We without kind of healthy enough margins and our price point kind of needs to be a certain way for us to kind of sustain as a business.
And so with that in mind, what consumer market exactly are you going for here, especially with that pricing in mind?
Yeah, so for us, as you mentioned, we're focusing on menswear first. To those in the audience, we're looking to move into menswear, so please stay tuned. So our market at the moment is men. I'd say 20 to 40 year olds, people who are active and looking for a product that they can wear for multiple occasions, which is what we believe ours does. So you could wear it for a social gathering. You could even wear it to work if it's semi casual. But you can also kind of wear it to golf and tennis. So lighter sports. So we golfers and tennis players are also a target market for us. But mainly in terms of the persona, it's someone who is. It's probably more urban, if I'm being honest. Urban people generally, and then also they're conscious about purchasing more sustainably. Mm-hmm. And I guess maybe just to touch on that a little bit, there aren't that many brands like us, I guess, focusing in this way in this part of the world as yet. I think it's definitely growing. And what that means is, somebody here may want to buy. Let's say from Patagonia in the US, it takes them, maybe $50 in terms of shipping to get it here. Whereas us, we're trying to give people access in this market. So yeah, I guess in a nutshell, sorry, I've been a bit long-winded with this one, but, Southeast Asia first, we're in Malaysia and in Singapore right now. Actually, we do fulfill throughout Southeast Asia, the big six ASEAN countries, but also urban, 20, 40 year olds, active, looking to something multi-occasional. And yeah, that's the main idea.
And have you had to educate your consumers about, your products a lot?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a big part of a brand like ours to keep that strong communication. And especially on the education point, it's part of our story, our brand. So we do shout about it a lot. I hope that some listeners and maybe if yourself, Christine, you might have seen like our ads or seen us on Instagram. So we do try and push this narrative for sure as like a forefront into our brand, because that's a very entwined into who we are.
And also, I'm curious because of course earlier you mentioned that the materials and the production are I guess sort of rare and a bit difficult to organize and it's not mainstream or widespread quite yet. So can you, are you able to share a little bit about the production process and, where and how you produce these products?
Sure. Yeah. So actually our manufacturing partner is based in China, and the reason why we selected China as a base or the start of our production is, actually, most of the bamboo in the world is in China. So China, there are these huge bamboo forests where typically have very thick bamboo, thicker than what you'd find in tropical rainforests. And it just makes sense for the harvesting and then moving to the factories in China for that industry to thrive. And I think that there is a bit of a stigma for kind of products that are made in China, mm-hmm. but those are kind of, I think that's a bit of an outdated term. The just growth of sustainability consciousness in globally, I think there are a lot of very respectable manufacturers in China who have the state of the art manufacturing that do see this as an opportunity and a market to tackle from a B2B standpoint, which means that it kind of from the bamboo forest being there, from the textile industry having matured after so long, and then also for these these stakeholders to understand that this is a growth market, it really made sense for us to do that. So yeah, that's that's a bit about like our downstream, I guess.
Interesting. All right. Well, final question for you, Arif. What are the goals for the future of Koalisa?
So for us, scale is I guess the first thing. We plan to take Malaysia and Singapore markets very seriously to start with, but expand more into metro cities. So whether it be your Hong Kongs or even, you know, closer to home, Bangkok, Ho Chi Minh City, some places. Once we tackle there is a duties and taxes side of things, that's something we have to navigate with our logistics. But that would be our first step. But our, you know, goals for the future overall is to go global and have worldwide shipping. We do have big bold ambitions to be, you know, one of the larger direct to consumer brands in the region, but then also be known as, you know, pushing this narrative of being eco-conscious and purchasing more consciously. So that's our plan for the future.
All right. Well, I'm very excited to see where things go. And hopefully there will be a women's line out soon.
Please stay tuned.
That would be great as well. But thank you so much, Ara, for sharing with me all about Koalisa today.
Okay. Thanks so much, Christine. It's been great to be on here.
You've been listening to Open for Business with me, Christine Wong. I've been speaking to Arif Faisal, founder and CEO of Koalisa, a direct-to-consumer online brand selling apparel made from bamboo textiles. If you've missed any of today's interview, you can go ahead and download our app that's available on the Apple App Store and Google Play. And you can also head over to bfm.my to listen to and even download the podcasts. This is BFM 89.9.
Are you open for business? Register your company with BossBelay.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.